I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, March 24th, 2014. And I'd like to invite everyone here to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As we usually do, we're going to start our agenda with the approval of the regular session minutes. It's from the March 10th meeting. We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes of March 10th by Councilmember Lynch. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The record shows that the minutes were approved unanimously and that all council members are in attendance. Next, we're going to have a presentation by Michelle Cosen, who is going to give us some background and information about the Worcester County Beach Box.
Thank you for having us.
Perfect.
I'm going to have my captain, Gary Chen, talk to us. Give us a short video, and we'll talk about the Worcester Beach Box.
We'll be displaying right up there.
Yeah.
Oh,
wait.
In Berlin, Maryland, Stephen Decatur High School. Our team grew from 12 students the first year. We're in our third year now, and we grew to over 60. And so the Board of Ed moved us, Mr. Taylor moved us to our own shop in the Tech Center. We are supported by businesses in Berlin, the Home Depot and Atlantic Orthopedic, Victorian Charm, and some other businesses. And we're here to first of all thank you for being part of our winning streak. We have all the stats and letters in front of you. It's on the Steve Decatur letterhead. And these are my captains for this year. This was a student team started at Stephen Decatur as an after school program. Now we're a community based team. Danny Becker, my seniors, and Gary Chen wanted to speak with you as well.
Okay, so what this program is it allows high school students to build robots to compete in a sporting-like game. And this year, our robot's name was Bruce, and we attended the North Carolina Regional, which featured teams from six states to two countries, and two continents, actually. And we took home the gold, and we won first place, and we are now attending the FRC Global Championship against the best, against 400 of the best teams in the world.
Where is the Global Championship taking
place? St. Louis, Missouri.
I guess it's my turn. I'm Danny Beck. My little brother, Kevin Beck, was on the Berlin Little League All-Stars, and so they won a couple state championships. And I feel like with the robotics team, we've gained the same kind of support from the community that they have. And a lot of friends and family around Berlin were watching our matches online. And I feel like that's one of the things that makes Berlin America's coolest small town, is that we have this great community support for all of our organizations.
So this program is absolutely wonderful and amazing. We're really privileged to be able to attend Globals this April 23rd to 26th. However, we do need at least $20,000 to participate. And we are looking to fundraise that money currently.
If there's anything you can do. Also, I'm originally from Maryland, and my background is 11 years in robotics in Houston. My parents retired here, and I moved back about 4 years ago and started the team here at Snow Hill and then Berlin, and it's been all over, so we've grown so much. And I am very excited to also retire in the coolest small town here in Berlin. I'm a Berlin resident. If there's anything you can do, we put a letter. All the donations will go through Stephen Decatur High School robotics team, and we've included quite a bit of our awards. And this is our team.
Will everybody who's on the team stand up so you can recognize like everyone? And are these representative of what grades?
This is 9th grade through 12th in our county, the majority being from the north end, but we do have representatives from Snow Hill, and it's the whole county.
Yeah, the great part about this program is that students of all ages, from all the way from elementary school, we have a first Lego League team, through high school, get to do engineering and like actually apply all the stuff we learn in school to a real robot and compete with it. Because in this, everybody gets to participate, and every hour and every minute of effort we put into it directly shows on the competition field.
Now, is each robot unique to each team?
Yes, each team builds their own robot to play the game of the year. Each year there's a different game. And we're team 4,288, so it's quite a big program. And now the teams, I think the highest team numbers now are 5,000 some.
Our students mentor two Lego teams who have also gone to the state championships and been recognized at UMBC, which was just a few weeks ago. Some of them overlap. Our little guys aren't here, but some of the ones that are ninth grade are on both teams, so they also won.
And when is the championship? What is the date?
It's in St. Louis, and it's April 23rd through April 26th.
Okay, so you have a very tight schedule.
Yes. Well, you know, if we can build a robot from ground up and scratch in 6 weeks, I believe we can do this. This is an incredible group of students. I teach at Snow Hill. I'm a physics teacher. But these are all our kids, so, and I believe they can do it.
All right. I believe the chief has something. Okay, good. Because we have certain things that we have done in recent years that we budget for, and to support youth and causes in the community, and particularly for things, experiences they might not otherwise have available to them. And quite frankly, the our police department, not only recently, but for many years, has been actively reaching out to youth groups and supporting all kinds of causes related to youth. So I'd like to turn it over to the chief, who basically give him the opportunity to make an announcement about the support the town of Berlin.
Again, as the mayor said, We love, we have opportunities to come in and support and encourage the youth within the general area, and also to go ahead and support the teachers and the great staff of all of our educational institutions. And on behalf of the Berlin Police Department, we have a check for $400 that will help, but hopefully help get a few of you guys out to St. Louis. And again, good luck with everything that you're doing, and continue to strive to be the best that you can.
Thank you. Thank you.
All I have is one request from the mayor, if you can sign my check.
We don't want to give you a bad check.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you. And again, hopefully with the media being here and so forth, I was imagined that we've just experienced a tremendous return on investment through the use of communications through social media, and I would highly recommend that because there's very little cost, but a tremendous return. And so you folks know a lot more about it than we do, and hey, we didn't do too bad. So let me sign this check and let you be on your way.
That's not an admission of guilt.
Sam Piper Energy, which is a division of Chesapeake Utilities, started a few months ago, and we introduced...
My presentation is not nearly as exciting as the other.
Well, we don't expect to make any robots, just get that gas going. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, sir. My name is Steve Tall. I'm the manager of gas conversion for Chesapeake. I was asked to provide you an update on where we were and where we're going, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. To date, we sectionalized, as I said before, we sectionalized the town to keep propane on one part as we bring natural gas in. We sectionalized Berlin into 8 sections. We're currently working on our 3rd section, and as of close of business today, we've converted approximately 185 businesses and residences. That 3rd section should be completed within 2 weeks, which will complete 53% of the customers in Berlin. We expect to be completely done in town, everything in your town limits, by early to midsummer, and we'll be moving on across the county. Just to give you a brief, because I know this is a question, but you know, as we do this conversion and we take propane off the system and we introduce natural gas to it, I mean, it's obviously a little more involved than that, but I can assure you that every piece of pipe in this town will be leak tested, surveyed by the end of this process. This will be the safest system that we have in our entire area. Just because of the way, you know, we have to do it.
Now, I remember not that long ago, the predecessor, Eastern Shore Gas, put in a lot of new lines.
Yes.
And I call it the yellow plastic.
Plastic pipe, yes, sir.
So is that the predominant amount of line that is currently within our municipality?
In your municipality, it is all plastic.
Excellent.
It's all plastic.
So yes. It's certainly not worn out.
No, that's the newest technology. I mean, in our system in general, I mean, we are a little different. We're not, you know, we're a mid-sized utility. We're not a New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore system. We have approximately, just on the Delmarva, I'm talking about our Florida divisions, about 16 miles of gas main in our system. We have about half a mile of cast iron that's left. And that's in... That's actually in a piece of Salisbury that's waiting on the road project. Approximately 90% of all of our gas main in our system is plastic pipe.
Tell me about after the conversion is completed, do you have a maintenance and monitoring schedule that's...
For the underground system?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. It's on a 3-year rotation. It'll be on a 3-year rotation. So every 3 years... I should preface that. It depends on where it is, because if it's inside piping, if it's downtown district, you know, public areas are surveyed every year. But on normal rotation, it's a 3-year, like for a development, say like an Austin Circle, or we'll leak survey that every 3 year on a 3-year rotation. But again, business district areas are shorter, and you know, there's all kinds of different.
After the initial installation of the homes and the businesses that are there now, present, new homes, are they going to be charged a installation charge?
No, we, depending on their usage, no. You know, we have, because it's, this is one thing that some of Ocean City's having a hard time with, because Eastern Shore Gas was an unregulated utility. They could pretty much do and put pipe and tanks wherever they wanted to, wherever they thought it was feasible. Because we're a regulated utility, you know, we have restrictions with the state of Maryland or the state of Delaware that says, okay, if we're putting a service into a, just for example, a service into a house, it has to pay for itself in a certain amount of time, or we have to charge some portion of that. That's so that cost is borne by that customer, basically, as opposed to, you know, everybody, I can't run 3 miles of main because I want to get to my own house. You know, everybody else would be paying that part of that bill, and that's why we're regulated.
So how I guess in its early stages of conversion, how long before the full conversion of the franchise area that you're now responsible for, how long do you think that will take? Is that over a period of 2 years or 3 years?
Oh, that'll be several years between Ocean. I mean, I'll be several years, I'm sure, in Ocean Ponds. Ocean City's a bit of a challenge. We've got to get under the bay to get to Ocean City. We've started looking at that process. I would anticipate a probably 5 to 7 years is, I think, kind of what our target area is. But
when will you be done with Berlin?
My personal goal is July 1st.
The average homeowner who may have a furnace, hot water heater, maybe gas logs. I'm sure there's no average homeowner. Let's say that was the average homeowner. Is there any installation cost on those small items?
No, ma'am.
Will they see an up or down in their immediate bill?
In their immediate bill, they probably will not see a change.
And in the long term?
They will see a significant savings.
How long is the long term?
I'd be honest with you, I don't have a straight answer for you. I mean, what we've tried to do is, obviously, we're trying to get the resident. The way this, the tariff is built with the state of Maryland, is that the more gas load we get on natural gas and off of propane, we can bring those prices down. So all we've been trying to do is as many residents as possible. We've also taken some significant load off of the station already, off of their, with the schools. We're working with Walmart. We've done the hospital. We've done the nursing home. Kelly Foods should be coming on any day, which is not really a current. They do some propane, but primarily we're getting rid of their oil load.
Now, the folks at this end of town, have they all received a postcard that says, you're going to be in the area in such and such?
It depends on where they are. We send those out, several weeks, a month ahead of time. I mean, right now we've sent them out as far through my sixth section, which is pretty much all of downtown except William Street and all the way down to Worcester Prep. So if they haven't gotten them yet, it won't be long because we're marching through town.
And you'll be covering all of Berlin?
Everything that has existing gas service to it, yes, sir.
Now, who should we direct questions to? Because I had one inquiry late last week, and the citizen just assumed that we were in charge of gas just like we are electric, and I was very pleased to say no. We've got plenty on our plate. But who should we direct questions or inquiries to?
Really, if they just call our customer service number, that's probably then they can be directed whether it needs to come to myself or...
have it, or if you could get it to Laura.
I think it is probably on.
Is that the same number if I smell gas?
1-800-427-0015.
Because, quite frankly, it's not a complaint. It's normal and natural in a small town when people don't know where to call.
Oh, I understand.
They call.
Sure.
Sure. Fine.
Sure.
But so we handle a lot of calls that have nothing to do with.
Any of their bill. I mean, it's, I don't think the numbers really changed from the old Eastern Shore number. I think that number rolls over, but Eddie, all
the
Coast
Guard had a number in.
Yeah, but
call if you wanted to say set up an appointment.
Right, and that is a different number. But that if they call that number, I mean, they can direct it to the right person. I mean, a lot of those calls are billing questions. I don't care if they call me, but I can't answer a whole lot of their billing questions.
We're just trying to most efficiently direct people to
our customer. I mean, their customer service numbers.
Yeah, it is on here. I'm sorry. It's 1-800-427-0015 is identified.
Okay,
I believe that's correct.
And what we'll do is, at least for the immediate future, while you're still doing the installation here in town till midsummer, have that available on our website.
Sure, so that'd be great.
You can direct people because
Sure.
Most people I know have more phone numbers and passwords than they can possibly keep straight.
I can agree.
That hopefully will be a service that will help make the transition a little easier for you and for the residents or property.
Sure.
It says, if I smell gas, and of course the line is 24/7. Mm-hmm. But what is your response time?
What is our response time?
Yes, if I smell gas.
Company-wide, we average under 20 minutes. that's the last number I saw. But, I mean, you know, again, depending on, you know, if it's at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night or if it's, you know, I have somebody next door. But generally our response time is, I think, has always been excellent.
You said where there's existing service. Mm-hmm. Does that mean if it's a street and the company's services maybe not even half of the customers on the street, there won't be a gas line? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that we're, my job is to convert the existing system. So, I mean, we have other people that handle, I mean, if we don't have gas on your street and you would like to get gas on your street, you know, we have a marketing department that handles that part of it. Is that your question?
Well, I'm trying to say every street in Berlin won't have gas service.
If it doesn't have gas service again on that street right now, then, I mean, unless we have enough interest from those residents, yeah, we're not going to extend those mains.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If it's not, enough people on the street already that's getting gas service, tank gas, or whatever you were doing before, then they won't be getting the pipe bed service. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, this is a... Yes, I mean, if we're not already there, I mean, I'm not charged with, when we have a marketing group that goes out and goes after new customers, new streets where we have interest. During this process, we are converting the existing system that's there. Now, if a customer, if there's a gas line on that street and they're not currently a customer and they want to have gas, you know, we have promotions for them to try and assist them as best we can.
Do you have lines on West Street?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of streets in Berlin we don't have gas on it until you get kind of, there's some down towards Worcester Prep, behind Worcester Prep, there's none.
But you go all the way down West Street?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
I suspect that, like anything else, once it's been an established service for a reasonable time, let's say 2 to 4 years, and there is people are experiencing actual savings, then I suspect you'll have another bump in interest.
I suspect that
some
myself.
Some folks will kind of want to wait and see, and want to see the proof in the pudding. But I
would
that,
agree.
That based on these arguments,
I think that's where you'll see the people that have switched to, whether it's a Shagrin or who, you know, Croppers or whatever. I think that's where you'll see the.
Yeah, right. they'll kind of compare.
Sure, because at that point there'll be no comparison in their bills. I mean, there's no, it'd be foolish not to.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
To clarify though, but when people smell gas, that mm-hmm. strong, they should call 911 though, right? Normally that's.
If you call 911, they're going to call us.
Right.
I mean, they're going to respond with the fire company, but they can call. You know, that's up to how, you know, how bad they think the odor is and how comfortable they are waiting for the gas company to arrive. But I tell you, I've been on hundreds of gas leaks that I got there before the fire department.
I wouldn't be known to call. I'd be, you know what I mean? I wouldn't
sure.
know who to call. But I mean.
And they call us. I mean, they call us right away.
You have gas lines on Franklin Avenue?
Yes.
So, you don't serve the Berlin Intermediate School. That would be a big customer for you.
I've had conversations with the school district about that school.
So the people that you're not serving, say like the Berlin Intermediate School, you're probably trying to get their business?
Oh, sure. I've had conversations. Yeah, I'm getting ready to do Buckingham Elementary in the next probably month or 6 weeks.
The competitor is at BIS, I think.
I'm not sure, but yeah, the school district would like to convert that school. Would like to convert all of their schools.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
Yeah, as far as the savings go, that was a big, big push for everybody. You're thinking sometime, how soon is somebody going to be able to realize the savings?
You know, the real question with that is, I mean, like this year with the weather, with the cost of propane just went through the roof.
Right.
I mean, there was lots of people all over paying over $5 a gallon, you know, on tank customers. I mean, I don't think sandpaper rates are, you know, obviously not near as competitive as natural gas is, but it's hard to believe as it is. There's a lot of people that had significant savings this year for what they would have had off of a single tank.
Is it a percentage at the end of summer, beginning of summer, next winter?
I believe there's a new, I know there's a, we have a rate case coming up again with, because I think it had to be within a year of the acquisition. I'm not sure what those rates are going to do. I mean, that's, I'd be glad to put you in touch with the right person, but that that end is not my not my forte.
Yeah, but again,
I mean, again, the more gas load we get off of propane and onto natural gas, you know, the more the rate comes down. So that's why we've been pushing with some of the bigger. I mean, I think out of the top 10 users in on the Berlin side of it, we've already converted 8 of them.
Right, you'll be done.
2 of them I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm. So that you'll have 100% of that time. That when you think that
that's going to help some, but you're looking at a you know about 550 customers in Berlin on a system that has 11,000 roughly.
Now I understand.
So then, I mean, we're moving into, you know, we're, trust me, we're working as fast as we can possibly.
The weather's not cooperating.
No, the weather's not been my friend. But we've only missed part of one day, so
and even with the 8 inches of snow. The town of Berlin and the other, I'd say electric utilities were, as a regulated utility, everything's approved through the Public Service Commission.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So we're very familiar with those folks. You found them very fair to work with?
Oh, yes.
I mean, you got to dot your I's and cross your T's.
You do, and that's okay. We've had Public Service Commissions, some of their inspectors have been on site with some of our jobs, so.
Great. All right. Does anyone else have any other questions for Mr. Tall? We appreciate you taking the time and wish you all the best in converting the entire town. And look forward to a long
thank you. If you have any questions, Ms. Allen has my number, and feel free to call me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next is we have a request for a special event by St. Paul United Methodist Church for a 5K Memorial Walk on Saturday, April 12th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Starting with Flower Street. Hello, and then all the way up, everyone knows.
Good evening, everyone.
I know you, Dave. Will you introduce yourself and assume you're representing St. Paul's?
My name is Dale Smack, a member of St. Paul United Methodist Church, and I send greetings from all members, and our pastor is Reverend Barbara Harmon. And I'm here again to request for a special permission for another 5K walk that we had last year, and it was very successful. I think everybody enjoyed it, and you're trying to turn it into an annual thing. We had people as far as Florida come home and join us in our race. I made many attempts to get Chief Downing to run with me, but he wouldn't do it. So
that would be something I wouldn't know about ahead of time.
I'm going to try again.
Maybe even a video. It might be a short video, but it'd be a very entertaining one.
Yes.
So we must have to work that day.
And we have volunteers for traffic control. I'll have members from my office to assist, along with Chief Downing's, and some volunteers to help monitor parking and traffic. We won't have any type of a problem with traffic or the crowd. We'll take care of the intersections, and usually everything's done within an hour and a half, and then we'll have an event at the church once everything is over. OC Tri Runnings is going to assist with the time and having a large tent up for the finish line, which everybody enjoyed, and it was just a very wonderful, fun-filled family day.
And from what I recall from last year, start and end is basically right there at St. Paul's.
We start on Branch Street. We go to Shaw, from Shaw to Flower, Flower to Maple. Maple to Elizabeth, Elizabeth to Schofield, back on the Flower. Go all the way to the end of Flower and make a U-turn and come all the way back and end at the church.
Okay. And if I recall correctly, because it was a great turnout last year, it is for especially for a first year, that the concept is this is to honor and memorialize those that passed, whether their family or friends.
Yes.
That
yes.
passed and, on before us.
And actually, what people learn with the route was the history of those that were our original, you know, members of St. Paul, that you pass by those homes of those that have passed on.
Now, so. How is that? Is that done orally or?
When, you know, it's conversation, you know, everybody, you know, let everybody know who lived where and who's related to who. So it's a very enjoyable day. We had a few runners, so we let them go first.
So hopefully we have a few more, but the walk's fun.
Yes, it is.
This is the second annual event.
Yes.
And the request is pretty much the same as last year.
As last year. No change except for the date.
So I move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the request for the St. Paul United Methodist Church 5K Memorial Walk on Saturday, April 12th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The church is located on Flower Street. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations, and looking forward to a very successful
event. And please, everyone, we have a pre-event with speakers, and you're more than welcome to come and join us. Everything starts at 9 a.m., and please feel free.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Next is item number 5, is a request for a special event. First of its kind for Berlin. Public Works Utility Day. Also, to be known as Touch a Truck Day, and
touch a truck.
Just don't let it touch you back. So, we're making the presentation is the Electric Utility Director, Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I approached Laura about this event some time back, and I think I spoke to the mayor about it. We're a member of American Public Power Association, and during the month of October, they have what's called Utility Week. Basically, that's where you recognize utility workers and that type of thing. I wanted to try to start the same thing here, but October, there's so many festivals and things going on during that time frame, we thought May would be a good time to do that. This is the first event of its kind here in Berlin. What we do is we put on a showcase demonstration for the citizens of the town to show them what we exactly do with our jobs. It's also like a career day for the kids in the schools if they'd like to come out and get a demonstration and an idea of what we do on a daily basis. And we were going to have it at Stephen Decatur Park on May 31st, which is on a Saturday, from 10 to 2. But we would actually start setting up about 8 o'clock in the morning. It takes about 2 hours to get set up to put on the demonstration.
And you say demonstration, could you kind of give us what the kids or the parents and grandparents all could expect to see?
For example, on the electric side, we would set like a utility pole with our digger dare. We would demonstrate pole top rescue, how we actually rescue somebody from a pole if they were to get electrocuted, that type of thing. We also build a ground level overhead pole at ground level with the transformer, a cutout, the squirrel protector, and teach the kids, you know, about what the different components do and how a transformer reduces the voltage from 26,000 down to 120, 240 to be used in your house, that type of thing.
What age groups do you think this would be, meaningful and interesting to? What range?
I would say, anywhere from 7, 8, up to, 20, 21. Grade level-wise, anywhere from 5th grade all the way up to 12th. It's a pretty neat event, and it's very educational. And then on the water side, for example, the camera truck, they could show, how they demonstrate the camera, how you run it through pipes and things like that. We also have different test equipment that we'd like to demonstrate. I was also thinking about setting up a demonstration about the new AMI meters, how they actually work and that type of thing.
You know, one thing, just so we don't forget, between you and Michael and everyone, we, let's make sure we get some pictures,
yes,
photos, and at least some good snippets of videos,
yes,
that we could use both on our website and also to help promote the event.
Yes.
Let's assume success, and it's nothing better than picture to,
yes,
show people what you can picture in your mind very easily.
Yes, I was actually involved with this type of event probably for 20 years. I was on a committee that set up for this every year where I used to be at, and it's a really good event for children and also for the customers of the town.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Tim? Basically, electric, utility, and water resources would be...
Also public works.
Public works as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. All three of us.
Excellent.
You could demonstrate a garbage truck. I think that's the most fascinating.
Yes, we were actually going to do that. Also, I think the police department might be involved in it, too. I'm hoping.
Good, okay. Good.
Yeah.
See if we can get somebody.
I think it's a neat idea.
Yeah. I'm hoping, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting, too. Thank goodness, in a way, that many of the services the town provides are taken for granted.
Yes.
Because, therefore, that means when things are going smoothly, the less they're noticed. Mm-hmm.
That's
but,
true.
And of course, if there's a lightning strikes or something, that get noticed right away. Mm-hmm. But I think this is great, especially for the young people to understand. I know when I visit schools,
yes,
explaining about how the different levels of government have different areas of responsibility. It's mm-hmm. amazing how many things that they depend on,
yes,
are right here at this level. Mm-hmm. And we're government that we meet. And I think this is a great idea. And so for some, it should have wonderful weather usually that time of year.
Yes, I'm hoping for that. We picked that weekend, hoping it would be nice.
Good.
That day.
And I think one of the things I would challenge you to talk with Michael and Megan and, mm-hmm. And all is just let's figure out how, in addition to press releases, of course, yeah, how we can work with the chamber, work with Berlin.
Yeah, I've already started discussing that with them. We talked about, some banners and things like that to get the...
Because I think outreach and giving people, giving them enough of a taste of what to expect, I don't think we're going to have to hit them over the head, but I do think, yep, something brand new, we need to make maybe a little extra effort
yes,
until it becomes an established part of the town's tradition.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
I mean, first, we need to have an actual approval.
I want to make a motion then to approve the request for Public Works Utility Day on Saturday, May 31st, in Stephen Decatur Park.
We have a motion for approval of Public Works Utility Day. Council Member Hall, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the coming in with the idea.
Yes.
Next year we can get it on our bookmark.
That's right.
Right.
I'm going to have to go to a bigger bookmark.
Yeah.
Right, next.
You're too small.
Now, next is a proclamation of the Fair Housing Month. So, as of this day, March 24th, 2014, this is a proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin recognizing Fair Housing Month in April each year. Whereas Congress of the United States passed the Civil Rights Act of 1968, in which it was declared that the law of the land would guarantee the rights of equal housing opportunity. And whereas the month of April was recognized by the federal government as Fair Housing Month, and realtors, developers, financial institutions, landlords, tenants, and the public at large are reminded that it is illegal to discriminate in housing on the basis of age, race, religion, sex, or national origin. Whereas there are housing groups and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development have over the years received complaints of alleged illegal housing discrimination. Whereas the state of Maryland, through the Department of Housing and Community Development, supports fairness in housing through a variety of programs and working partnerships with the federal government, local governments, and private sector businesses to ensure better living conditions for all Marylanders. And whereas equal housing opportunity is a condition of life in our community that can and should be achieved, therefore be it proclaimed to the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin hereby declare the month of April 2014 as Fair Housing Month in the Town of Berlin and does commend this service to all of our citizens. Berlin, many, many years ago, back in the 70s, was, most people probably have forgotten about it, was a leader on the Lower Shore on this whole fair housing issue and on making sure that substandard housing, it literally disappeared in Berlin first. And that was another thing where nobody was holding a gun to anybody's head. Nobody was threatening to take anybody to the court. Everybody just knew it was the right thing to do. And hopefully it's a part of our legacy that we can continue for a long, long time. Next is a proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Town of Berlin recognizing the week of April 19th to 26th, 2014 as Take Pride in Berlin Week. Whereas the Town of Berlin, Maryland embodies the way of life of small town America while providing a fairly modern lifestyle. Whereas citizens of Berlin are proud of their community, their neighborhoods, and their neighbors. And whereas the organizations that call Berlin home are dedicated to maintaining and enhancing the many positive aspects of our community. Whereas the volunteer spirit of our citizens enables lasting and effective partnerships of people, organizations, commercial ventures, and municipal government to make our town a wonderful place to live, work, and visit. And whereas our town boasts many characteristics to make evident the efforts of past and current generations to uphold the values of our citizens through stewardship of the natural, cultural, and civic environment. Now, therefore, be it known that I, William G. Williams III, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the town of Berlin, do hereby proclaim the week of April 19th through 16th, 2014, as the third annual Take Pride in Berlin Week, and ask our citizens to demonstrate their pride in whatever means and are most representative and meaningful to them. I have to say, I want to give credit to Deputy Administrator Mary Boland, who has been at the forefront of this effort ever since the idea was first conceived. I hope it continues to grow in popularity. It's most folks here, either reporters or regular visitors. It started with a cleanup day at the park, at all three parks simultaneously. The turnout was unbelievable. It has only grown each year, and it has now transcended, which is a very important day. But we're talking 50 plus up to upwards to 70 some people who turn out for 4 to 5 hours of old-fashioned labor, and it's kids and grandparents and people of all ages, and they literally get our parks in first-class shape, and the Public Works Department provides the materials, provides many of the tools that are necessary, but the parks within a matter of hours go from, looking like they've just gotten through winter to being ready for all of our visitors. And thank you so much for all that you do to get that together. And also want to thank the Berlin Area Ministries and the Sunrise Church. They, every year, provide at absolutely no cost to anyone, absolutely great food and beverages for all the folks who turn out. And all the folks, regardless of the park, everyone ends up over at Henry Park and Flower Street, and it's just amazing. And one more thing I would just like to say is that I have been asked, because of recent events related to coolness, who the most important people in Berlin are. And I've been asked that question so many times, it's amazing. And I can say it's normally in many communities people point to the people who have the greatest financial means or to the people who have the greatest political influence. But in Berlin, clearly our most important people are our volunteers. They don't get paid a dime, but they make almost everything this community does that has made this community special possible. And we want to thank them, especially at this time in Take Pride in Burlingame. So thank you. The next is a program open space annual allocation wish list. And Mary, is this going to be your baby too?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the annual wish list that we present to Worcester County each year as they present their request to the state for allocation of program open space funds. The request has remained the same for a number of years. It's unfortunate, but the county has not received enough funding to be able to allocate it out to the municipalities for several years now. So we continue to put these requests before them in hopes that at some point the funding allocation will return to previous levels and they'll be able to disperse that out to the municipalities as well. So for fiscal year 2015, what we are requesting as our priorities, the priority park would be John Howard Burbage Park. First, we are requesting $5,000 total funding to help develop specs to improve the park and turn it into truly a park instead of a park in name. And beyond that, $50,000 for the development of the area, actually, after having the specs created, and then the tot lot in Stephen Decatur Park for $10,000. So we're requesting a total of $65,000 for development programs in the county allocation of program open space funding.
And again, this is all dependent on how much the county gets.
Correct.
It's been lean pickings.
Yes.
In recent years.
Yes.
But is it realistic to expect that program open space would be when the economy recovers and state revenues are not in such demand compared to the supply that this actually will become real again?
I hope so, but I honestly have no real sense of how to gauge that.
Okay, that's fair. I appreciate the honesty. It was such a great program for such a long time.
Yes, yes.
Be up to the folks if it comes back or not. Thank you.
Have you done anything last year?
No.
It's been some fun.
Yes, it has. I actually do need the approval of the mayor and council on this prior to submitting it to the county this week.
We have a motion to approve the program open space annual allocation wish list. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Very good.
Thank you.
Next is a authorization to approve purchase power auction. Everyone will recall, I think it's been roughly 2 years since the last time, 2011, we had our first experience with the actual auction format. We have our contract
May of 2015.
May of 2015. So, to simplify a very complicated thing, or subject, is that basically the fall and the spring present the best times that the market offers the lowest power rates. Historically, that has not changed in a long time, and especially since deregulation, and it just makes common sense because power usage peaks in summer because of heat, and peaks in the winter because of the cold. So what we have done and did a lot of work back in 2010 and 2011 is we have the templates in place and agreements in place so that that all that work can be done ahead of time for any potential energy supplier who wishes to participate in the auction. And all that is reviewed and our utility attorney and all those folks make sure everything is just perfectly squared away so that then we would set ahead of time an actual time and date and have the auction right here. It's an open process, and anybody who's really bored can come by and watch. It's not very exciting, but it's probably educational. And
I'd rather watch the trucks.
Yeah. The trucks are going to be a lot more fun. But it is an open process, and what we will do is, if the auction, and you actually can see the energy suppliers changing their bids, and they can see what the other energy suppliers are bidding. And what tends to happen is that in the early minutes, there's a lot of movement, and the movement slows and slows and slows as people reach their, as low as they're going to go. And, but we do have the option, if we do not feel that the price is favorable and acceptable to the goals we have in mind, then we don't have to accept any of them, and we can then delay to next fall. But it's like anything else, rather than wait for the last minute, we want at least test the marketplace. The worst case scenario would be that if the market, anybody says they know exactly what the energy market is going to do, probably could sell you anything. But if the worst case scenario, if I understand it, is if we don't get a good contract this spring or next fall, our last opportunity is the following spring.
Next spring, which would be really tight because the contract expires in May of 15.
Yeah. And usually that April, early May is about as good as it gets, because after that, the summer rates, summer demand, I guess is the best word, kicks in. So all we're doing here is doing our homework so that we have the option of moving forward with this and testing the market.
So can I make a motion
then
to approve the purchase part of the power auction?
Okay.
Purchase power auction.
And just you don't want to have to say that too often.
No.
Okay, we have a motion by Council Member Hall to approve the power purchase auction and authorization. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, thank you very much. That just passes unanimously.
So we did A, B, and C.
No, we just did A.
Yes, we did A.
Three individual motions.
Yeah, they are, yeah. And
all right, so then we need to do B.
Yeah.
Right.
Next is to authorize, if in fact if we find an acceptable agreement, have the authorization to sign it, because there's a limited amount of time in which it has to be accepted. It's not, they don't let it stay about 2 weeks.
Motion to approve the mayor's signature. I like that.
Thank you.
Motion to
approve. We have a motion by Council Member Brittingham to authorize me, of course it's with a vote of the majority of the council to start with, to accept the agreement, but this gives me the authority to sign the agreement immediately. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. That passes unanimously. The third is motion to confirm the World Energy Contract. Can you explain a little more about that? Because I'm not as familiar with that.
Sure. That's just basically the contract we have with the folks that run the auction. It's still a valid contract, but Jill Barker, who's the attorney we work with on this type of an issue, is recommending that you restate the contract, which is just like reconfirming.
Yeah.
Just as a point of work.
And Joe Barton is not affiliated with them. She represents us.
That's right.
Now, the World Energy Contract is a percentage of the cost of what the energy we buy it at. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, we were a big utility like BG&E or Con Edison or something, we would have a department to do this. Instead, we contract out the services based on need, which is once every couple of years. And so we have a motion to confirm the World Energy Contract to conduct the auction.
Move to approve contract.
We have a motion by Council Member Burrell to approve the World Energy Contract. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you very much. Next, I think we're ready for the departmental reports.
Speaking of parks, one thing that I did want to let everyone know, in case you had noticed, the Public Works Department found that there was some damage to the entranceway at Henry Park. The railroad ties that have been in place for many years have been deteriorating over time, and apparently over the weekend or sometime last week were possibly struck by a vehicle or simply a victim of vandalism and were pulled out. What they discovered when they tried to repair it was that they were rotted beyond repair. So they're looking at some alternatives for how to fix those areas and hope to have some ideas to take to the Parks Commission at their meeting next week.
What would you anticipate that the cost of this repair or upgrading or whatever would be something that we would be experiencing in the early part of the next budget?
No, I think that I think that it should be able to be covered this year. It depends on what they come up with as an alternative to doing the repairs.
So they're going to not only look at just fixing what's there, but seeing if there's any way to improve on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
There are also several areas of the iron fence around Henry Park that have been damaged. Those are a victim of vandalism. And they are requesting a quote from the fence installer at this point to see about getting those repaired.
Well, again, I commend the Parks Commission for being proactive, because it's like anything else. You got to go after what minimal vandalism we have, but if you don't snuff it out, it tends to grow.
And that's a shame, because it almost looked like King Kong stood there.
It took some effort, yes. It definitely took some effort and some deliberate thought.
And I suppose we'll have to watch and see, and again, the chief will be right on top of this. See if this was one time before, or if it starts to become a repetitive thing, then we'll maybe have to take some other measures.
Okay. So if we believe it's someone trying to make a shortcut, and again, other jurisdictions have actually put a great way through naturality. If someone wants to go through the fence, and we would go ahead and look and see if that's even a thought.
But the thing is, they would be crossed. If I'm wrong, just tell me. Where they're attempting to cross, it's a very dangerous place to cross the dual highway, right?
Again, some people walk actually straight down and don't go ahead and cross because, again, they're not crossing at the median. But for some reason, and again, it's the same thing at the Walmart and Pocomoke, that they actually bend it and have to go ahead. And again, it's one of those things where people are short-sighted and just want to go ahead and see the shortest way to get wherever they're going instead of taking the proper route.
And speaking to Arnold's point, actually, within weeks of that fence initially being installed, there was a section that was damaged, and we did just that. We just cut it out so that there was a cut through there rather than trying to repair it and replace it.
Maybe that's something the Parks Commission could consider in this repair as well. Because, I mean, let's face it, you're not going to change human nature. Human nature hasn't changed in, 3,500 years at least, maybe 5,000, and I don't expect it to change tomorrow. So let's if that's a simple, cost-effective solution, take a look at it and then send what your recommendation. Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Over at 102 Flower Street, we replaced the pole that was right there by Uncle Billy's, and we're waiting on the cable TV and Verizon to change their lines over. When they do that, Verizon, they normally pull the old pole. They'll take it with them. At Jefferson Street, we ended up installing the overhead transformer, and we split the load to improve the voltage problem, which that did straighten it out. Then over at 302 Bay Street, we removed the overhead service for a customer that was doing an electrical upgrade on his house. And also at number 3 Powelton Avenue, we relocated the underground service and meter base. Customer there was doing a renovation project on the home, and he wanted to have a new meter base installed, so we helped him with that.
Great.
And also, we've been working on various maintenance projects, tree trimming, streetlight repairs, transformer inspections, and then also doing prep work at the power plant for the summer run for peak shade.
Great.
Thank you
so much. And next is
what she's showing you a picture of there is the transformers at Savage Substation. This goes along with the PO about the fans that I wanted to install in there. What we're going to end up doing is installing fans, which in turn they improve the the capacity of the transformer. The transformers right now are rated for 5K MV each, which is a total of 20, but one of them is a spare transformer that has no load on it, and the other three carry the load. This past January, we hit a peak of 14.6 megawatts. Our transformer is only rated for 16.2. That's about a 2 megawatt difference there, which that could really creep up on you really fast. By installing these fans that you see here, this will increase the lifespan of the transformers. Plus, it will increase the capacity from 16.2 to 21.3.
Really?
Yes.
So, at peak load, it can take that much more load just for
23 by installing these fans. I went out and got several quotes on this, and it was ranging from anywhere from 28,000 up to 62,000. I got to thinking about it. I was like, you know, we can install these ourselves. So I went out and got some pricing, and I got it lowered a lot. But the big thing is it will expand the lifespan of the transformers, plus it increases the capacity up to 21 megawatts.
Based on the purchase orders that we're going to, that the council is going to be reviewing, looks like you cut that cost at least by half.
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent.
And it's able to increase the capacity because it keeps it cooler?
Yes. These transformers get really, really hot during the summertime, especially when it's 100 degrees outside. And by what's inside the fins there is the cooling oil that keeps the transformers cold. Basically, you're circulating air between the fins, which lowers the temperature down on it. So it does two things. It increases lifespan, increases the capacity.
Great. That's excellent. That's excellent news. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone. We're getting ready for the events and actually for the party and parade coming up this weekend. We've actually had some commitment from the Maryland State Police and the Sheriff's Office and the Fire Police for the event itself. So I believe we're going to have a fun, safe time. The Berlin Police Department have had the opportunity to go ahead and do actor shooting training. We're roughly 75% to 80% complete with the whole agency. With that, we've actually had the SWAT team do assessments of 3 of the 5 local schools. So again, they've had opportunity to go through the schools with the administrators and write down some suggestions and some thoughts. And in the next week, or actually the 10th, we're going to have a meeting with the county to go over the actual county plans that they have in place, marry them with the actual individual schools, and to make sure that we have that information passed on and assessed with all within the agency itself. So again, we're attempting to be proactive, and the commanders of the SWAT team have done a real good job with that in itself.
I saw something on the news the other day that was related to this, because it was talking about quick response, particularly to school emergencies and threatening situations. In that particular case, it made the news because there wasn't a common means of communication between the different agencies. Has that been overcome here?
The true blessing here in this county, and really and within the state of Berlin, we have the ability to go ahead and communicate on the same radio system. So again, in any event in which we have to go ahead and dictate, we have to change to the same channel, all of us will be able to seamlessly go ahead and communicate. The things that we need to do is make sure that the plans themselves are married together. And the thought is, before next school year, to actually do exercise within the school. Plans for the actual schools themselves are generally done by the administrator of each school. What they're looking at is most of the schools are very similar, especially the ones that they're built in the 70s, to make sure that we have common language, processes that all the school administrators know, and to go ahead and marry them together, because we don't know what agency is going to be responding. On a given time, we're not quite certain if we're going to have 5 people from the Maryland State Police actually come to the aid, or someone off duty from Ocean City might be the first one responding to Ocean City Elementary School. So we want to make sure that we either have the same concepts, the same idea of what the layouts of the schools and that knowledge of what's on site. Again, we actually talk about the gas and the big propane tanks and those sort of things. So we've been blessed. Lieutenant Fisher actually did a virtual tour of every school within the county itself. So again, to make sure that all the different agencies have that information right at their hands and fingertips in case of emergency.
So basically, as much as is humanly possible, you've tried to make all the different personnel interchangeable parts, but the plan as common to all the agencies as possible.
Definitely, and to be smart enough to know that we don't have all the answers, and that when you allow the school administrators to go ahead and have input, if you allow EMS to go ahead and have input, they'll go ahead and view things from different eyes, and they said, well, maybe you've forgotten to think about this or actually look at it this way.
Now, but you said that there is a plan to do some exercises during the summer. Is that when school is out?
Right now, we're actually going to be reviewing. The county actually has completed. So we're, as the chiefs and administrators, we're going to go ahead and review those plans, tweak those, and the thought of getting all the police agencies and EMS together on our side, and maybe even bring in some students during the summertime to go ahead and do some actual drills is our thought process.
That's fantastic. That is so reassuring, and it's great to see how everybody is locally working together, including the state police.
Again, partnerships.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Welcome.
Next is Planning Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a couple items. Friday, I was pleased to attend the home and condo show with Michael Day. We worked the afternoon there. Can't tell you how many people congratulated the town of Berlin. It was nice to see. It was fun. I'm sure Michael will fill you in on some of that also. Since we met last, we had on the 12th a Planning Commission meeting, and Mr. Hansen, who had given the council and the department heads a presentation on his Cattery Village project, went before the Planning Commission more as a presentation, an informational session with them. We called it a work session. There was a lot of good feedback. It was well received. His intention is to bring it before the Planning Commission for preliminary site approval at April's meeting, the second Wednesday in April. And I think the way he's moving so far, he's addressed a lot of their critical comments or with the things they wanted to see back in 2007 and 2008 on the original plan that wasn't his. So I think we're moving there pretty well. The other half of that meeting, we discussed revisiting the idea of commercial design standards to be added to the town ordinances. I provided all the Planning Commission with copies of the Worcester County ordinance, and they agreed, you know, they voted on, they would read it and we would discuss it at the following meeting. So we're headed down that track. I'd like to see. We need some strength to the ordinance for any, you know, future development, future growth that we might experience. Right now we don't really have too much protection on the design and what we want to see there. And what, you know, we have it on density, we have it on sizes, but we don't have anything that helps us keep the character of Berlin the way you want it.
And I'm very pleased to hear that, because I know it's been discussed before.
Yes.
But I think now this helps, actually helps, I assume the approach one to help every neighborhood retain its own character and the areas that are contiguous to the historic areas, so that there is at least some compatibility and,
yes,
and a natural transition.
And it would start, that's the reason I mentioned it, as commercial design standards. Mm-hmm. Residential, that's a hard one to...
Yeah.
But you know, you might like a Spanish house with red tile roof, and I might like a modern house that looks like Frank Lloyd Wright drew it, and Jim might like a Victorian house. That's very hard to do. Neighborhood by neighborhood.
But the commercial
with the districts we have, very attainable, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be a process, but we got to get started somewhere. So.
Yeah.
And they agreed. The Planning Commission was all in agreement.
Good.
They were glad to see that they're revisiting it. So I think that was good.
And I also have to say, I think the timing, please thank them, because, I think we're anticipating, no guarantees, and I think we're anticipating some real movement on the building ends of things in town. Mm-hmm. And we've done all the preparation, we've got everything in place, we're all ready to go.
Yep.
And that's one piece that still remains, but there's, I think, adequate time for them to thoughtfully go through that process.
And one other item, I don't know if you're aware of it, Wednesday the 26th, day after tomorrow, in the evening at Snowhill Intermediate School, the State Highway Administration's given us a program. It's not a presentation, it's more informational on the dualization of Route 113. They've got so far in their design phase, and what they've got now they want to share with the public. I plan on attending. It's like an open house, according to what I've seen. It doesn't require you sitting in an audience and listen to a speaker. You walk around and ask them questions, look at their displays, their drawings, their maps. So that's from 5:30 to, I believe, 7:30, Berlin Intermediate, and that's on Colburn Street in Snowhill.
Snowhill.
Did I say Berlin Intermediate? It's Snowhill, I apologize.
It just shows you how comfortable you've gotten here.
So I plan on attending. So if you had any questions you wanted me to ask or try and find out, get in touch with me via email or the phone, and I'll be glad to do that.
Great. Well, people appreciate that.
That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, that's plenty. That's very good. Thank you. Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few things. Last week I attended a workshop that was hosted by Legit for our liability insurance. What I can tell you is I don't have anything in writing as far as the rates are concerned. But I can tell you for a fact that the Legit pool as a whole, when it was kind of funny when the meeting started, Tim Ainsworth, their executive director, said, "I don't think there's a deer left in Maryland." He said, "So we hit them all." And then some guy walked in from Salisbury and said, "No, I didn't want to come here today." But as a whole, I firmly believe in the conversations that I had from the liability perspective were going to be somewhere between a flat and 2%. So that'd be good if that happens. This week I'm attending a workshop with Chesapeake, the old IWIF, for workers' comp. A workers' comp workshop, say that three times fast. And I do believe right now that, again, I don't have it in writing, but I do believe and I feel very comfortable that we're going to be flat this year with workers' comp, I believe.
Yep.
As far as health insurance, I will tell you the Affordable Care Act and the legislation with that and the guts of that, that's evolving every day. When I was at the Legit conference, an attorney came in and for the afternoon spoke about affordable care, came in with a pretty thick ream of paper and said this ream of paper deals with one aspect of the Affordable Care Act. And what it specifically referenced was one of the fees with Affordable Care that was finally approved, if you will, it's called a reassurance fee. And that boils down, so I can tell the mayor and council and all of us in here, hands down, I know that we're going to have an additional $60-some fee per beating heart that's on our health plan. Not per employee, but per beating heart. So that's just one of the fees, in addition to all the other and sundry number of fees that have yet to be officially finalized. So I don't have any idea, to be very blunt, with what health insurance is going to do. My instincts are I want to keep them reserved right now, but I hope to have a better feel sometime mid-April.
During the budget process, I think.
Yes, sir. And what I can confirm, because I do have it in writing, the vision insurance, which is a very small portion of our expenditures, that will be flat for FY15.
So the recommendation is that we hire as many heartless people as possible.
Well, the attorney said $67 per belly button.
Okay. All right.
I'm just trying to find a way to say that.
Or it just can't be.
Thank you.
And next is Economic and Development Director Michael Day.
Thanks. I have to follow here, but the condo show.
Oh, it's got to be an improvement.
The condo show, I think, was a big success for us because of what we were tallying over there. I know that Laura and Joanne were there Sunday, and they said it was pretty busy. Jane, Julia, and Megan. I think somebody else was there Saturday.
Rondell.
Right. I'm going to leave Rondell out. So, and they said it was pretty good. We had a good time Friday afternoon, Friday evening. I think we also did it with as few man hours as possible this time. I think we've really cut that down, so I think that was good. I've been met with WMDT and the tourism, county tourism. They were going to put a webcam at Assateague for the season. They've decided to move it over to Berlin, so they're going to put it on Main Street. So when they break into their news or weathercast, they will be showing the streets of Berlin with events and things going on. And that's Lisa Challenger pulled that off for us. She's been very instrumental in this whole thing. Comcast will be with their film crew here the 29th, filming. They want to use that for the season as well. They've also got some advertising they're selling along with it to the merchants who are buying into it. Fairly quickly, it's one of the cheapest things that Comcast has done, I think, in a long time. Attended the annual art and entertainment meeting for the state last week, and the Eastern Shore delegation, Art and Entertainment and Main Streets, have been pushing a change in the state legislature for the art and entertainment rules and regulations for artists. We don't feel they're fair for the rural artists like we have here, and for several years now we've pushed this. At this meeting, they feel like it is going to pass this time. They were pretty confident about that. What that would do would allow artists in our district to sell in other districts, to be able to go to Snow Hill and sell in that district, to go to Elkton, because we don't have the galleries that they do in the city. So we're really hopeful that that goes through. Also, with this TAD, Tourism Art and Downtown Development, which is an Eastern Shore group of Main Streets and art and entertainment towns, we've been meeting with Delaware and really developed this Delaware connection, because it's easier to go to Delaware than it is to Baltimore. In fact, Megan and I went up to Dover last week and attended the Main Street training, which is given by the National Main Street office in Delaware. They're going to do the same thing in Baltimore, but it would mean we'd have to go up there and spend the night, because it's a two-day training, whereas Delaware has it one day and then 2 weeks later has it another day in Dover. So it's much easier for us to get to, much cheaper for us to attend. So I'm really glad about that. And that's about it. See you all Saturday.
And just again.
Oh, and one thing. Sure. The Berlin Heritage Foundation is having their big fundraiser this Friday night of all times, mm-hmm, over at Harrison's Harbor Watch, 6 to 9 p.m. So I wanted to get that in for this.
Yeah, and that's a really nice affair.
Yes.
Very nice affair. Really. Again, and just on behalf of all the council and everyone, thank you for all you did to help make this America's coolest fall.
It was a total group effort. I know Lisa was heavily involved. And
he did a good job in the parade, too. He looks really nice. Carrying the banner.
Yeah. Thanks. I should have had that picture to go.
She should have been dancing with the girls with Jake in front of you. That was a good one to follow.
Thanks.
Yeah. If you could do that again, a little dancing would be fine. Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
We did it a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Excellent. So much good news. Next, I'd like the town administrator's report.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council. It's your purchase order report at this council meeting. We have purchase order number 2030 in the amount of $1,495 to EnviroCorp for monitoring of wells at Lee Road spray site. Purchase order number 2615 in the amount of $1,876 to ERMCO for 237.5 kVA overhead transformers. Purchase order number 2558 in the amount of $1,520 to Net Impact Inc. Here we go, for coolest keychains. Purchase order number 2692 in the amount of $6,906 to Toth Distribution for brochure distribution March 2004 through February 2015. Purchase order number 2591 in the amount of $1,288.20 to Wainwright's Tire Center for tires for truck number 33. Purchase order numbers
2642 in the amount of $1,377.50 to Red the Uniform Tailor for uniforms for Officers Bragg, Collins, and Jerscheid. Purchase order number 2643 in the amount of $2,601.95 to Red the Uniform Tailor for bulletproof vests and shirt carriers for Officers Bragg, Kearney, and Fisher. Purchase order number 2398 in the amount of $4,448.97 to Atlantic Machinery for emergency repair of vac truck due to oil leak on boom. And purchase order number 2703 in the amount of $14,229.16 to Krems and Company for cooling fans for transformers at Savage Substation to be submitted for bid bonds.
Does anyone have any questions for any of the purchase orders as outlined by Laura?
Make a motion to approve all nine purchase orders.
Okay, we have a motion by...
Okay, question.
Go ahead.
What kind of truck is truck number 33?
That is the small trash truck.
Small trash truck.
Small trash truck. Not the automated one.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Birmingham to approve all nine purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, purchase orders are unanimously approved. First of all, I want to thank Councilmember Lisa Paul for so safely and volunteering to drive our unit for the town of Irwin and St. Patrick's Day Parade.
We were a unit?
Yes, and I think we were fortunate. We had volunteers, Michael Day and Mark Huey carried the banner and very proudly and very well for us promoting America's coolest small town. And Lisa and I were very proud to have our her granddaughter and my grandson as part of the unit. It was just went very well all around. The folks, it's amazing how many people know about this. It's probably the best publicity we've ever received. And thank you. I appreciate you. And also, I'd like to take just a moment to introduce a very good friend that I think it's the first time he's been here, at least for quite a while, and that's Mayor P.J. Purnell from Chrisfield. Mayor, give us a high there. Mayor Purnell oversaw that and brought together so many different agencies to when Chrisfield's time of need after Hurricane, Superstorm, actually, Sandy, I hope the folks at Chrisfield know that you have a lot of friends here, not just you personally, but the town of Chrisfield. If ever a time of need, or just a phone call away, or text, or whatever you prefer, and we're just very happy to have you here tonight, and anytime you can be of service, all you have to do is call.
As a mayor, I would only say I wish and hope that you never have to go through such an experience. It's pretty scary, pretty devastating. Everything you think you plan for, you haven't planned for.
Kind of humbles the whole thing.
It does, really.
But thank you very much for being our guest. And again, we hope you don't need to call anytime soon. If you do, we'll be there. And next, I'd like to bring attention to a letter I've composed for the council's consideration and hopefully approval. Delegate Norman Conway is leading an effort to have the portion of US 113, Worcester Highway, that goes from Berlin south to Snow Hill, named in memory of our late delegate Kay Bennett Bosman. Written a letter on behalf of all of us saying that we support that effort, and I just ask for your approval so that I can sign it and send it. Basically, it says, on behalf of myself and the council members of the town of Berlin, we wish you to know of our publicly stated support in requesting the naming of U.S. 113 Worcester Highway from Berlin to Stone Hill in memory of the late Delegate Kay Bennett Bosman. Bennett was not only an outstanding representative for our town as an effective and dedicated member of the House of Maryland House of Delegates, but also was a longtime Berlin Main Street pharmacist who unselfishly served Berlin as a community leader and active member of the Berlin Fire Company. The Mayor and Council of Berlin, on behalf of the citizens we serve, believe naming the highway in honor of Delegate Bosman would be a most fitting tribute to his service to our state, county, and community. So do I have your approval? Do a motion for approval of the letter for Councilman Burrell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. And just one small note to just remind everybody, you know, we have the America's Coolest Party coming up on Saturday, and hopefully with a little good luck, we'll have reasonably cool weather, but not extreme. And I'd like to invite everyone to enjoy your time in Berlin by being kind and courteous and respectful, and in other words, have fun while being Berlin cool. So yeah. We're looking forward to a very special day, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and we just hope that everyone enjoys themselves, and we all look out for each other and enjoy the fellowship that's gotten us to this point. Now, do we have any comments from council?
Just don't forget it's red, white, and blue theme for the party, too, Saturday. And maybe one of the papers, since they come out right before, could maybe talk to Michael or maybe Joy or Megan, because I've had two or three people call me and ask me, what is this party about? What's going on? And, you know, it's like they know it's a party, but they want to know specifically, so maybe you could just write a little something telling people that, you know, it's children-friendly, there's a parade, you know, face painting, entertainment, you know, all kinds of things like that, just to let people know.
Thanks.
A Healthway Drive. That's a private drive.
Yeah, they haven't turned that over as a mess.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good.
That is a mess over there.
Hello, in the coolest town. We also had the coolest basketball teams in Decatur this year. The girls went to the playoffs, and the boys went to the playoffs in La Plata. And I went to the game in La Plata for the boys with their grandsons, point guard. So they didn't make it past La Plata, but they had a good year.
Yes, they did.
So I would like for the town to just send the school congratulations of some type, whatever we do.
Recognize, yeah.
The teams will also be in the parade on Saturday, yeah. The basketball teams.
Yeah, the basketball team, both the girls and the boys will be there. They were very pleased to be asked, and the Stephen Cater marching band will be leading the parade, right behind little Mr. and Ms. Peach. Okay. Do we have any comments from anyone attending tonight's meeting, or questions or comments? Do we have any questions from the press? Stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your patience.